Hey everyone, and Happy New Year. My name is John Tiernan. I'm the site pastor at our Harbor Creek location, and I want to welcome those of you who've came to Christmas at the Warner and are new to Grace. We are so glad that you're here, and I hope you felt that from the people you've interacted with so far. If you're new to church, maybe you're still exploring who Jesus is, I'm so glad you've decided to continue that journey by coming to Grace. For the past 8 years, being a part of this church has been such a blessing to me and my family, and I hope it is to you as well. As we head into this new year, our minds are full of the possibilities. Could this be the year that I start eating better? That I finally kick that habit? That I lose the weight for good? Could this be the year that I restore that relationship? Or that I get control of my temper? That I get out of debt? Could this be the year that I start running on purpose? Not just because I'm chasing my four-year-old. At the heart of all these questions is a deeper one. Is real change possible? Is it even possible for people to really change? I mean, how many times do you fall into the same bad habits? How many times have you seen people's short-lived efforts to do better, and then they quickly return to the same regrettable actions time and time again? We have a lot of evidence to make the argument that people don't change. Despite the best intentions, detailed plans, clearly outlined goals, change can still seem impossible. But I believe with all my heart that it is. I believe that I am living proof, as are many of the people sitting around you today. The church is full of people who've been deeply and profoundly changed. As Pastor Derek talked about on Christmas Eve, we are the people of the once was. And over these next 2 weeks, we're going to look at why real change is possible and how to invite that change to happen in our lives. But before we talk about that, I have another burning question for you. Is light a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, raise your hand if you would say light is a good thing. I'm trusting that most of you agree with me. And that generally speaking, we like the light. Sorry to those of you who didn't raise your hand, but the rest of the room is now judging you a little bit. People are whispering behind you, do they really prefer darkness over light? That's weird. Hey now, let's show some grace. We're in church. Maybe they moved here from Northern Alaska and are used to spending months in complete darkness and have grown to love it. Okay, that's weird. If you're joining us on Grace Online from Alaska, I'm sorry if that was offensive. We love you. Your state looks beautiful, and your salmon is delicious. But overall, we prefer light over darkness. Light helps us see things clearly. Can I tell you when I hate darkness the most? At about 3 a.m., when our five-month-old little girl wakes up crying, and my wife gives me the nudge that it's my turn. Some of you are familiar with this scene. You're trying to navigate your bedroom from memory because it's pitch black. You're moving as fast as possible to try to have the best chance of getting the baby back to sleep and keeping them from waking your other child across the hall. So you're feeling your way along the bed and then the wall. You're almost to the door and then bam, you forgot about the laundry bin, which is easy to step around in the light, but in the dark, the laundry bin is a toe-stubbing landmine. But there are times that we prefer darkness. We prefer darkness when we want to hide. I remember playing flashlight tag in the summers as a kid, and it was so much easier to hide under the cover of darkness than trying to play hide and seek outside in the daytime. And even though it's nice to have the lights on when walking across your bedroom, being in the dark means not having to see my pile of dirty clothes, the spot on the ceiling from when our roof leaked a few years ago, the stack of papers sitting on the desk that still need to be filed. So even though most of us would say we prefer light, there's a strange comfort that comes from darkness. The truth is, whether you realize it or not, we have a love-hate relationship with both light and dark. In 730 BC, the prophet Isaiah made a remarkable prophecy involving darkness and light. He said these words, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined." This passage goes on to say in verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." And then after 7 centuries of anticipation, this prophecy is fulfilled and this child is born. This is what we celebrated on Christmas and what Pastor Derek spoke about at the Warner. The Savior that the people had been longing for, the one who could bring lasting change, had finally come. And when this child named Jesus became a man, he said these words about himself. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. People throughout Israel would have been familiar with Isaiah's prophecy about this great light coming into the world. God's chosen Messiah sent to rescue and redeem his people. So when Jesus shows up and says, I am the light of the world, we kind of expect people to be excited, right? I mean, here's a group of people who have apparently been living in deep darkness, but now they don't have to anymore. The light has come. But listen to John describe how people responded to Jesus. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light. What? People love darkness rather than light? Why? We know these people weren't from Alaska, so what's their deal? John gives us the reason. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Jesus is the light of the world, and he came to call people out of their darkness. But people often respond the same to his invitation to step into his light. No way. I'd rather stay in darkness. And it wasn't just hardened criminals and blatant sinners that hated Jesus' light. Religious leaders, his own Jewish people, even many in his family rejected the light of the world. What is it about the light of Christ that makes people resist it? This passage tells us that people hate the light and avoid it because it exposes them. It exposes their evil actions, their hidden habits, their sinful motives, their wrong views of God. The light exposes people for who they really are. Staying in darkness allows us to hide our brokenness. Darkness becomes comfortable and familiar. It gives us this illusion of safety and freedom. Being exposed by the light is terrifying because it forces us to deal with the broken and screwed up parts of our lives. And Jesus didn't just come to expose us. He came to transform us. This is our big idea today. The light of Christ transforms us. This is why people reject and hate the light of Christ, because there's something inside of all of us that rebels against change. Change can be scary and painful. For the Pharisees and the religious leaders in Jesus' time, stepping into the light meant they would have to change their beliefs about God, how to live out his commands. It would completely change their approach to religion and life. Some of you have stayed away from church and religion for quite some time because you knew it would mean change. You're sitting here thinking, here he goes. He's going to tell me about all the stuff I need to change if I want to be a good Christian. Can I challenge you with this thought before you start tuning me out? A savior that isn't worthy of our transformation, a savior that isn't powerful enough to change us, isn't much of a savior. Following Jesus means being changed by Jesus. And even though there's something inside of us that hates being exposed and dreads the thought of being changed, there's another part of us that's longing for it. If you listen to the deepest and best part of you, your heart and your soul, you will hear the cry for a better existence, a longing to live the life you were created for. I hope you'll see as we go today, Jesus is the source of the real, lasting change and healing that all of us long for. So we're going to look at a powerful story from John chapter 9 of a man who is transformed by Jesus. And as we hear this story, we'll hear how his encounter with the light of the world not only changes him forever, but it forces everyone around him to decide for themselves how they will respond to Jesus' invitation to step into his light. Let's read the beginning of the story in John 9, starting with the first verse. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, It was not this man that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed, and came back seeing. Isn't that incredible? Jesus spits on some dirt, puts on this guy's eyes, and when he washes it off, he's able to see for the first time in his life. As you can imagine, when Jesus healed a blind person or performed any other miracle for that matter, people started asking questions. When the Pharisees, the religious leaders, got word of this miracle, they're immediately skeptical. They assume that Jesus is a fraud or he's using demonic power to do miracles. They question whether the man was really born blind in the first place. So they interrogate the man several times, trying to get him to admit that he wasn't born blind or that Jesus could not possibly be from God. But the man stands by the fact that this guy Jesus must be from God if he has the kind of power to heal his blindness. The Pharisees are so outraged that they cast him out of the synagogue. I'm sensing a little hostility toward the light of the world. Are you catching that? Then Jesus finds this man, and they have this game-changing conversation at the end of the story. Jesus heard that they cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. This story shows us two ways that the light of Christ transforms us. It transforms how we see, and it transforms how we heal. Let's look at how the light of Christ transforms how we see to start. The light of Christ reveals the truth. This is why Jesus calls himself the light of the world. He illuminates the true nature of things. He allows us to see things for what they really are instead of living in the deception of darkness. This is what happens for the blind man in this story. The point of the story is that everyone is spiritually blind except for the guy who is actually blind. Jesus doesn't just give him his physical sight back. He gives him his spiritual sight. This is why he's able to recognize and accept Jesus as the Son of God at the end of the story. The light of Christ changes how we see because it allows us to see the truth with spiritual eyes. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." The light changes how we see God. He allows us to see God as he truly is, not as we think he should be. The Bible says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So we get this incredible picture of God's love and power, righteousness and wisdom in the person of Jesus Christ. The light also changes how we see ourselves. We see the truth about our worth and our purpose. Jesus shows us that we were created by a God who loves us as a perfect father. We are his prized creation. We were created on purpose for a purpose, to enjoy him and reciprocate his love back to him. We were created in his image to show his love to others. But Jesus' light also exposes our brokenness and our sin. This is the painful part. This is why people stay in darkness, so they don't have to deal with their own brokenness. In the darkness, we pretend like our sin isn't there. We live in denial about how bad things really are. But Jesus calls us out of the darkness into his light, exposing our true nature. The Pharisees, they chose to stay blind to the truth, to continue in darkness, in doubt and self-deception. But the man who was born blind, he let the light of Christ transform him. When Jesus restores our spiritual sight, we see how deceived we are. Stepping into the light means we're forced to deal with our sin and struggles instead of pretending they're not there. As the perfect light of Christ hits us, we realize how many ways we've strayed from God's commands and his desires for our lives. We see how many times we've failed to love God and love others. We see our blatant sins, like addictions, dishonesty, anger, sexual immorality. But we also see our hidden sins, our selfishness, our pride, our unforgiveness, our judgmental thoughts, our lust, our jealousy, our greed. We see our idolatry, how we've been looking to the wrong things for joy and meaning instead of looking to God himself. Jesus' light shows that our sin separates us from God and deserves judgment. We see clearly for the first time that we are in desperate need of forgiveness and healing and restoration. Stepping out of darkness means acknowledging our need for a Savior. When the light transforms how we see God and ourselves, we stop living in deception and we start living in the truth. Today is the day for some of you to step out of the darkness and into the light. Jesus doesn't just shine light on our sin and leave us in shame and despair. He offers real healing. The light of Christ transforms how we see, and it also transforms how we heal. At first glance, this story revolves around physical healing, but by the end, we realize the spiritual healing of the man born blind is the more significant transformation. We see this over and over again in Jesus' stories of physical healing. He addresses our deepest need, our soul level brokenness. And what is the disease that plagues every human heart and soul? Listen to Jesus' response to the religious leaders when they ask him why he spends so much time with the moral outcasts of society. He said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus came to heal sinners because sin is the disease that cripples all of us. Our sin is what separates us from God and holds us back from the life God created us for. Sin cripples us in two ways: through its condemning power, making us guilty before God, and through its controlling power, making us slaves to our sinful desires. Jesus came to heal us from both. The prophet Isaiah describes how Jesus brings about our healing in Isaiah 53. "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." This passage opens our eyes to the significance of Jesus' death on the cross. He was pierced for us. He was crushed for you and for me. He was punished for our sins so that we could be forgiven by God. And by his wounds, we are healed of the sin that cripples us. When Jesus forgives our sin, he disarms the condemning power of sin. Our status before God goes from guilty to innocent. When God looks at us, he sees the perfection of Christ. Our shame and regret no longer define us. Paul tells us in Romans 8:1 that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We go from fear to confidence, from insecurity to peace, knowing that we've been adopted as God's beloved children through Christ. Jesus redeems our God-given worth by taking away our sin. Some of you have been carrying guilt and regret for far too long. Jesus gave his life so you don't have to carry it anymore. Jesus not only forgives us, he empowers us. After Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit so that he could empower all of his followers. Through his Holy Spirit, Jesus empowers us to overcome the controlling power of sin. We are no longer crippled. Our sin no longer defines us or controls us. Paul describes the empowering work of the Holy Spirit in Romans 8:11. "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." If you are a Christ follower, then the same Holy Spirit who empowered Jesus to cast out demons, to feed thousands, to heal the blind man and countless others, the same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is in you. Everyone who follows Jesus as their Lord and Savior receives the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit to live this new life, overcoming sin and being transformed to be more and more like Jesus. So if you are a follower of Jesus, please stop living a defeated life. You have the Spirit of Jesus inside of you. Jesus transforms us from victims to victors. This doesn't mean change is easy and that it's not a fight. It means that we now have what we need to fight and to win. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, the reason you're not experiencing real change is because you're lacking real power. You are not equipped to overcome sin on your own. Sin will continually condemn you and control you until you let the light of Christ shine on you. Do you know the difference between Tylenol and an antibiotic? I hope so. One is for numbing, one is for healing. There's a big difference. Numbing provides short-term relief but doesn't address the real problem. So often we're tempted to numb our pain, our shame, our insecurity, our sin, and try to ignore the real issue. We need a real, lasting remedy for our crippled soul. What we need more than anything else is to be able to look into God's eyes, the one who created us and knows us better and matters more than anyone else, and hear him say, "I love you. I forgive you. I don't hate you. I'm not mad at you. I accept you as my child. I give you new life, eternal life, and I can help you live the life I created you for." Followers of Jesus, we are the people of the once was. We've stepped out of darkness and let the light of Christ transform us, just like the man in the story. Listen to his beautiful, honest words to the Pharisees when they're questioning him. "One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Seeing Jesus change a life is an amazing thing. Looking back to who we were before and who we are now because of Jesus' forgiveness and power in our lives encourages our faith. This is why we love singing Amazing Grace. Followers of Jesus are the people of the once was. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I once was crippled by my sin and shame, but now I'm empowered to live the life I was created for. I love watching this transformation happen in people's lives here at Grace. People who were stuck in hate now showing mercy to the people that hurt them. People who are anxious about so many things who are now at peace in their lives. Workaholics who are now devoted spouses and parents. People once consumed with insecurity who have found confidence in Christ. How have you seen Jesus transform you? What has Jesus healed in your life through his forgiveness and power? It's so important to look back and celebrate how Jesus has changed us. I celebrate a time as a 16-year-old when Jesus brought powerful healing in my life. I'd been a Christian for a few years, but I'd started looking at pornography on the internet on a regular basis. I was away on a youth group retreat, and we're having this time of solitude and prayer, which I was dreading. In that time, it felt like Jesus was saying to me, "I forgive you, but I want you to change this part of your life that you know is wrong." He was calling me out of the darkness. And at that time, I felt the peace of his forgiveness, but I thought that meant I needed to change myself. I realize now that in that prayer of me agreeing that I needed and wanted to change, I was giving him permission to change me, to change my heart, to empower me to overcome that sin in my life. Jesus gave me a renewed desire to honor him and empowered me to resist temptation. Other than one time, a few months after that, I've not looked at pornography since I was 16. I would love to tell you that lust is no longer a temptation or struggle in my life, but it is. I have to pray often and seek accountability for the self-control to honor the Lord and my wife with what I look at, whether it's a show on TV or at the checkout line in the grocery store. But I'm a different person than I once was because of the healing power of Jesus. And that same power is at work in me now, transforming me day by day to be more and more like him. The sin or struggle that you are facing might always influence you. It may feel like the temptation never fully goes away, but it doesn't have to control you or define you anymore. When you have company to your house, are there rooms that are off limits? I mean, for us, it's our basement. The floor is nasty, black, and uneven. The beams and wires and pipes are exposed. There's paint supplies and other random stuff laying around the floor. When we have guests, they're welcome in the living room, in the dining room, the bathroom, but they are not welcome in our basement. Most of you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we compartmentalize our lives like rooms in a house, and we tell Jesus that he's welcome in most of the rooms, but there are one or two that are off limits. But remember, following Jesus means being changed by Jesus. He doesn't just want to renovate the rooms that you're comfortable with. He wants to renovate the whole house. My wife's been a little obsessed with the show Fixer Upper lately. She loves watching an outdated house that starts off in such disrepair get completely renovated into this amazing masterpiece. That's what Jesus wants to do in your life. He wants to renovate and transform every part of you. Sometimes we wish he'd go a little quicker. Sometimes we wish it'd be a little less painful and require less effort on our part. He'd just take care of it and let us know when it's done. But we trust that he is a master craftsman when it comes to renovating hearts and lives. So we take the bold step to let his light shine in every room and devote ourselves to partnering with him as he transforms our darkness into light. As we wrap up, I want to leave you with two challenges. Stop hiding and start shining. Ever since Adam and Eve, it's been part of human nature to hide. Satan tries to keep us in the darkness. He doesn't want us to experience the healing power of the light of Christ. Sin thrives in darkness and secrecy. So Satan will do whatever he can to convince us to keep hiding. Some of you have struggles in your life that you're trying to hide. What is it in your life that Jesus wants to expose so his healing can begin? What's that thing that keeps holding you back and bringing you down? One of the best ways to stop hiding is to tell someone what you're struggling with. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." If God's the only one that knows about your struggle, you'll stay in denial about the effect your sin is really having. There are a few individuals in my life that I intentionally talk about my struggles and the dark parts of my life with. Jesus uses these conversations of real honesty and vulnerability to shine his light on my sin and encourage me to receive his forgiveness and seek his power to change. Take a courageous step to stop hiding and share your struggle with someone this week. The second challenge is to start shining. Not only did Jesus call himself the light of the world, in Matthew 5, Jesus tells us as his disciples, "You are the light of the world." I mean, it's amazing that Jesus can take us from hiding from his light to shining with it for all the world to see. And I want to tell you, you don't need to shine a light of perfection. You need to shine a light of transformation. Everyone knows that perfection is possible, so don't pretend to be. People aren't looking for perfect Christians. People see and are drawn to what Christ has done and is doing, even though we are all a work in progress. John 3:21 says, "But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." When we invite Jesus to heal the broken parts of our lives, we're better equipped to shine his light of transformation. Just like the man in the story, we get to point others to the healing power of Jesus. We remind people that there's a different way to live life. You don't have to hide. You don't have to be crippled. Real change is possible. We are the people of the once was. Tell someone your once was story. How you've been transformed by the light of Christ. The world is hungry to hear about a Savior who can handle its brokenness and bring about real transformation. Who in your life needs to hear your story? Imagine if we let Jesus shine his light in the darkest places of our lives. Our shame, our bitterness, our insecurity, our secret sins. What would happen if instead of hiding, we let Jesus transform that part of us? Imagine if when people in our community crossed your path, they saw the power of Jesus at work in your life, transforming you to be more like him. You have the privilege of hearing a life story of someone at Grace who's been transformed by the light of Christ. Someone who responded to Jesus's invitation to step out of darkness and into the light. May Scott's story help you see the healing power of Jesus and believe that real change is possible with Christ.